Female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number.
Now, this word cursed is really an interesting word because I was asking the Lord, Lord, did Elisha really curse them? Was a curse put upon them? And this word from the Strong's Concordance is number 7043, and it means to bring a curse upon oneself. These boys actually brought the curse upon themselves, and Elisha just completed that curse that they had begun on themselves, and the bear came out, and now I think that they were devoured, but you said he just messed them up a lot, the 42 lads, so
either,
I don't know.
Either way, they're in trouble.
Either way, they were in trouble, yes. Just this last week, we heard where a bear had become too friendly with the people on the campgrounds. In fact, so friendly that he mauled a couple of them.
I think the word is familiar.
he got so close that he mauled a couple of the guys, and stitches were taken. So a forest ranger saw this bear 30 feet from these campers, and he decided this bear needed to get shot.
Get on his way.
Well, no, he shot him to death. So he got rid of this angry bear. And so here we see that two female bears can be very, very vicious and can cause a lot of damage. But they brought the curse on themselves for mocking this mighty man of God. And Darren, that still happens today. I really believe men and women that blaspheme against anointed men and women, sometimes we see them dying of disease or in an accident or something. So, oh, that's too bad. And I believe that the curse that they put on themselves have caused their demise.
You know, I look at that anointing that's on a person of God, and I look at it like clothing, because they are clothed with power from on high. Mm-hmm. And when you reach out with words and you touch that, you're in trouble. It says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And God means exactly that, because what are you touching? You're touching God.
Yeah.
Because he is enveloping that person for a specific task on the earth. And you know, I have told some, listen, you may not agree. In fact, I was talking about my ministry, and I said to these that were working for me, you may not agree, but if you decide to leave, you go quietly, but don't touch the anointing. When you do, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a warning from the Lord. These young men paid attention, and they went quietly away and didn't touch the anointing. And that's a very, very important thing. So be careful. If you've done that, you need to ask God to forgive you. And you might need to go to that minister of the gospel and ask them to forgive you.
Well, because the anointing is on those who are obedient to the Lord God. If these young men walk away, they themselves become anointed with that power and that anointing that the person that they didn't talk about has. And Darren, I believe it's really important that we see that we're all called to be ministers, and that anointing is possible on all those who are called to be ministers if we don't cause any kind of breach in that spiritual walk. And I believe that's so true. Anybody can have the anointing. I really believe that. We're all called, and I believe if we grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all have that possibility of that anointing. Here, we see that as the days progressed and as God brought Elisha on the scene, I see Elisha so much like Jesus. He just walked along the road, and as there were needs and emergencies arose, he just met those emergencies and needs. It wasn't that...
Now, you see, the way I see that is these things are in the spirit world. When Jesus created everything, mm-hmm. he created the spirit world, the invisible as well as the visible.
Yes.
I believe many of these things are available in the spirit world if we become attuned to that. And if we knock on the door often enough and it says, press in, and it's just not something you sit down and say, well, I choose to look over the fence there into the spirit world, and I want to observe what's there because I think I want to use that. I believe it takes great faith in the Lord God. I believe it takes being able to hear the voice of God, to walk in the spirit. But those things are available in the spirit world for us to use.
Yes, they are.
Now, this Elisha really cashed in on that.
Well, what I'm saying, though, and what I'm trying to say is that in the normal scheme of things, during a normal day, if they had bad water, if they couldn't drink the water, it became drinkable. If they had a bad pot of soup or stew, it became edible because this man had the power. He didn't plan on all these things to happen. They just happened and he met the needs at that moment.
But you know, I think Barbara, I would probably take a little different approach to that and would say, this man knew that the answers were available, and it was a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Because as he went along, well, you got bad water, okay, we'll fix that. Okay, you lost the axe head in the stream, mm-hmm. well, we'll cause that thing to float. Whatever we need to do, the power is available. And I would say this, the assets and the resources are available. You know, they're still available to us today.
That's right. Now, how much would it take to take poisoned water and purify it? I mean, if we knew that that water was bad, we would have to call a government agency and have them come out and test the water.
Oh, the EPA would have the answer, I'm sure.
and it would take 10 to 12 days probably for yeah, their right. representatives to come out.
No, it would take that
longer.
Long. No, wait a minute. Take that long for them to answer the phone.
Okay. But what I'm saying is time is of an essence here, and immediately this water was purified. And I believe God wants us to see that in the Spirit today. Things can be taken care of immediately if we trust Him. Now, this third chapter of 2 Kings, I'd like to read the whole thing because it's an involved story, and the miracle is so mighty, and it covers two or three different situations in this miracle. But Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, though not like his father and his mother. Now it's Ahab and Jezebel who were his father and mother. For he put away the sacred pillar of Baal, which his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, and he made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he used to pay the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it came about when Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all of Israel. Now he was going against the king of Moab. And he sent word to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are my people, and as I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." And I'm sorry that Jehoshaphat did this, Darren, because this was not in God's plan for the king of Judah to come and join the king of Israel.
Well, they became unequally yoked there.
Yes, they
and
did.
This is a great story here because we cannot become unequally yoked in business, and many times even in ministry,
mm-hmm.
with someone else. They may have a calling on their life, an anointing on their life. It doesn't mean just because of that we throw in with them.
Yes.
And I've seen some real wrecks in ministry when they've done that.
That's right. And so the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. They joined forces. Now, there were three against one, and they made a circuit of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the army or for the cattle that followed them. Now, the cattle that followed them, it supplied milk, and they butchered while they were going because they didn't have refrigerators, they didn't have campers or RVs. They had to butcher food as they went along, and this is 7 days. They had huge armies, so their cooks would just butcher on the road, and so they even had cattle. Can you imagine the entourage, Darren, and no water to feed these hundreds of thousands of people and flocks?
Have you ever heard a cow that was really thirsty?
Oh,
man,
just.
I've watched them. They can stand there and beller, and they go clear back to their sides, and their sides go in and out.
Oh,
and
yes.
I mean, they put everything they've got into it, and it's not a pretty scene, and
no,
it sounds terrible.
No, it isn't. That's right, it does. So the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings to give them into the hand of Moab." They were giving up. They thought they were going to attack Moab, and here there was no water. They'd been 7 days out of Samaria. And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What do I have to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother." He knew the wickedness of Jehoram. He really knew that he was a wicked king. But because of Jehoshaphat's holiness, because of Jehoshaphat's obedience to the Lord, Elisha said,